cut the music up. A little louder. Yeah. You had a lot of crooks try to steal your heart. Never really had luck, couldn't ever figure out how to love. How to love. You had a lot of moments that didn't last forever. Now you're in a corner trying to put it together. How to love. How to love. For a second you were here, now you over there. It's hard not to stare. The way you moving your body like you never had a love. Never had a love. When you was just a youngin', your looks were so precious. But now you grown up so fly, it's like a blessing. But you can't have a man look at you for 5 seconds without you being insecure. You never credit yourself, so when you got older, seems like you came back 10 times over. Now you're sitting here in this damn corner, looking through all your thoughts and looking over your shoulder. See, you had a lot of crooks try to steal your heart. Never really had luck, couldn't never figure out how to love. How to love.
And we're back in the studio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your girl, Natasha Hatcher, and this is the Love and Me Is Enough podcast. And as usual, we do not own the rights to any song that you may hear that's played on this podcast. All right, let's... All right, we have a really good show that's scheduled for today, and it's kind of going to take a different turn. As I always say, you can pretty much tell... by the song, kind of like where we're going with our episode, kind of like what we're getting ready to talk about. But you know, it's a lot. So the podcast is called Loving Me Is Enough, and a lot of times I don't think we really address the Loving Me Is Enough episodes or anything about love in a while. So I decided to bring back an episode that we kind of tried to tackle last season. Didn't go too well for whatever reason. So this season, I decided to bring it back. And so that episode is How to Love. We're basically going to be talking about how to love in this episode. And there's, you know, in the words of Keith Sweat, there's a right and a wrong way to love somebody. I told y'all that, you know. You're just going to get music all throughout my podcast. But there is a right and a wrong way to love somebody. But the most important thing about knowing how to love is first knowing how to love yourself. Hint the name of the podcast. Because we have to understand, I think I said this last show when we were talking about that you're worth fighting for. In hindsight, I really should have did this show before that show. But nevertheless, just listen to them all together. Because in order for somebody to fight for you, in order for you to fight for yourself, the first thing that we have to know and understand and realize is how to love yourself. See, a lot of times I don't know about a whole lot of different cultures because I'm African-American. And a lot of times in the African-American culture, let's just be honest, don't come for me. I'm just telling you it from my perspective. We don't really teach how to love. We don't really teach love. We may know an individual love us, or we may see ways on how to love ourselves, but we aren't really taught, for the most part, how to love ourselves. Example, my dad, you know, may he rest in peace. I never heard my dad tell me that he loved me. But I knew without a shadow of a doubt that he did, right? How did I know this? I knew this by his actions. I knew this by the things that he did. In spite of even the moments when he wasn't present in my life, I knew that he loved me. He just didn't know how to love me. Make sense? I mean, it sounds, you know, sounds like one and the same. And I hear somebody saying, you know, what's the difference? It's a difference. It's a difference in knowing that I love you and knowing how to love you. A lot of times growing up, some children never get to hear those three words, I love you. Some children never get to hear it from their parent or, you know, the guardian or whomever, you know, they're being raised by. But you know somehow, some way that they love you. But the thing is, how do you know this? And not only how do you know this, how do you now process and turn around and learn how to love somebody else. So what ends up happening is you end up loving somebody else or even loving yourself the way that you were loved or the way that you were taught to love inadvertently. Yeah, it's kind of, it's a lot. It's a lot. But it's the one thing that, you know, one of my favorite songs, I don't even know the artist, but one of my favorite songs is the chorus of the song. I don't even know if it's the chorus or the bridge, but whatever. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that we can't get enough of. And it's really one of the only things that really frees a person. It's one of the things that heals. Love does a lot of things. Love is one of those things that it just does so much, and not just love of the love of somebody else or loving somebody else, but just the love that you have for yourself. The way we treat ourselves, the way we communicate with ourselves, the way we think we think about ourselves, it matters. And it sets the tone for how we receive it and how we give it. So because even my mom, I love her dearly, but I don't remember growing up. and my 70s babies, you guys probably could vouch for this. I don't remember hearing much my mom telling me physically, you know, verbally that she loves me, right? But I knew she did. She a tough cookie, but I know she did. I knew she did, again, same thing with my dad, by her actions, by the way she cared for me, by the things that she did for me, her love was very action. And a lot of times we feel because we have that action, we don't need to use the words. Sad mistake. Biggest mistake we can make either as parents, as caregivers, or whatever have you. Children need to hear, people in general, need to hear those words. They need to hear that you love them. They don't just need the actions behind it, because sometimes when the actions don't add up, at least if they have the words to live, you know, to hold on to, they have the words to, to hold on to, it makes a difference. Because I can be mad at my son, and God knows, oof. Man, these teenage years are rough. Y'all really just pray for your girl. It's really rough. Nobody prepared me to be a parent of a teenage son. Hold on. I need a moment. Nobody prepared me to be a parent of a teenage son. And so at times it's a little rough. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, that type thing, or vice versa, wherever that saying goes. But I make it my business, even when I'm mad at him and I'm just frustrated and at my wit's end with him, I make it my business to say, I'm mad at you, but I still love you. You know, you disappointed me in this area, but I still love you. And to some, it might seem misogynistic, like, oh, like how you gonna be mad at somebody and then still love him? Because my madness doesn't change my love for him. Or my frustration doesn't change my love for him. Or any of those other emotions doesn't change my primary emotion of loving him as my son, loving him as my child. And he needs to know that it's okay for someone to be mad and upset, and it doesn't change their love for you. And that's where I feel like we're not excelling. That area is like, sometimes people think you're mad at them and they automatically believe, okay, because she's mad at me, he's mad at me, it changes the love that they have for me. And in most cases, it doesn't. In some cases, it does. Let's just be honest. And, you know, in a whole nother show, we'll talk about love from a relational aspect. But just generally, just love is just, it shouldn't change your emotions. How a person feel about you in this moment, or whether or not that person is mad, aggravated, frustrated, it should not change their initial emotion of loving you. And so, yeah, when I'm upset and frustrated with my son and I feel like, you know, good Lord, are you ever going to get it? It doesn't change my initial emotion of loving him as a parent. But back to the topic at hand, how to love, like loving, how to love a person. We have this thing now, I think it's what, the 5 love languages. So we have that for relationships, right? And honestly, you can use it across the board for just about anything. We have these 5 love languages that teaches us how to love, or teaches us how we want to be loved by somebody else. And that's cool. But how do we want to be loved by ourselves? Like, what effort are we putting in to love ourselves? And somebody asked me a long time ago, why loving me is enough. I said to them, if you go back to my very first season, I said to them, because there was a point in time in my life, and I'm honest and transparent with this, that I really did not love who I was, right? Because so much of what had already been said or done or whatever caused me to be in a place where I even didn't really love who I was. If I go back, and I encourage you to listen to that show. It's in season one. I was called everything but the child of God. I'm probably still being called those names, but at this point, it don't care because I love me, right? But I was so young when it was happening till where it caused me to somewhat believe that, yo, maybe, you know, this is it. This is, you know, what they say is true. It caused me to doubt myself. And because, yes, I knew my parents loved me, but because there was no pouring into me at the time to remind me that, hey, they say this, but, you know, you're still that, or whatever the case may be, it kind of off balance. It kind of made me lose my equilibrium of who I was and what was going on in my life at the time. And then based on some of the decisions I made, it just made me frustrated with me. Let's just be honest. You know, a lot of times we hide behind imagery. And I just don't have time for that. I am who I am. You know, I'm like Mary, take me as I am. Love it. Like, you know, it's your problem. It is what it is. But I'm very honest, you know, and if we as people would ever take the time to self-inventory and to self-reflect and realize and be honest with yourself. See, that's the thing. Like, you can lie to an individual all day long, all week long, all month long, and all year long. But when you start lying to yourself, you don't love yourself. I'm just going to be 100. When you start telling your, you know, believing the hype and lying to yourself to make yourself feel better, that's red flag. Complete red flag. Because the one person you should be able to be honest and transparent with, the one person you should be able to say anything you need to say to that person, it should be yourself. You should be able to look yourself in the mirror and be like, honest. But a lot of people are not honest with themselves because we know, if we're honest, it's some things that we have to look at and some things that we have to face that we don't quite want to look at and don't quite want to face. And truth be told, it takes work. Like, when I went through that whole phase, and I really do encourage you to go back and listen to that show in season one. When I went through that whole phase, it caused me to look at some things that, some self-inflicted things. That's another reason why we don't want to, you know, we don't want to deal with us and be transparent with us. Because a lot of what we feel and a lot about what we go through is really self-inflicted, if we're honest, majority of it. And so when you have to reflect on how did you get here or, you know, how did the situation happen, you kind of really have to take the finger and point it at you and not somebody else. There's no room for to blame anybody else. So when I went through this whole loving me is enough phase of my life, I believe I was in my early, I think it was my early 30s, late 20s. I don't know. But when I went through that phase, it forced me to look at Natasha. It forced me to look at Tasha. It forced me to look at Tashia. It forced me to look at Tosh. And yes, I have all those different names. And those different names bring different personality. Don't judge me. You got them too. But it forced me to look at me as a whole, as a person, and understand, like, listen, you got to deal with you, Tosh. You got to deal with you. In order for you to deal with anybody else, love anybody else, be there for anybody else, you have to learn how to deal with you first. You have to learn that it's okay to feel the way you feel, sit in it for the moment, and then figure out how are we going to get from this place. All of that is basically learning how to love yourself. See, it's so much easier for me to blame somebody else for what I feel. It's so much easier for me to blame somebody else for what I'm going through. It's so much easier for me to be in a place like, you know, it's your fault why I'm going through this. It's your fault why I'm divorced. It's your fault why my kids act this way. It's your fault why I can't hold a job. It's your fault why I'm just sorry. Let's just be 100. Sorry, this show is going to cut a little deep in some areas. But when you look at it, is it really that other person's fault? And pause for a moment. How did you give another person that much authority over your life to make you feel the way that you feel? I just want to know that. I'm going to just let it sit, let you think on that for a moment. How in the world did you relinquish so much power, so much authority to another individual to say, it's your fault I feel this way. It's your fault this happened. It's your fault I didn't reach my goals. It's your fault I got evicted. It's your fault my car got repossessed. It's your fault my relationships failed. How? When are we going to stop, drop? Oh, no, I'm just saying. When are we going to stop and take self-inventory and reflect and say, what role did I play in this situation? How much of my power did I give to another individual over me? See, when we're talking about how to love, how to love yourself, meaning that you take full inventory for your actions. One of the things I'm in the process of teaching my son is that I say a man because he's a male child, but this is not gender bias. A man takes responsibility for his actions, good, bad, or indifferent. But can I say something, ladies? We're so busy telling men, and this is definitely not the show, but I'm just going to drop this nugget. We're so busy telling men that they need to be accountable for their actions. What about us? What about us taking accountability for our own actions as well and not blaming them? I can't even say a man, but just not blaming them. See, we put so much quote unquote accountability on what a man should do and what a man shouldn't do and how a man should act and how a man shouldn't act and what a man should, you know, quote unquote, bring to the table. We're going to talk about that table on a whole nother episode because I'm over the whole table stuff. But we so busy telling a man, and I know y'all ladies going to be mad with me, and it's okay. I love y'all in Jesus' name. But we're so busy being so consumed in what a man. Yeah, we're so busy about telling a man what he should and shouldn't do. I be knocking stuff over. But what about us? When are we going to take full responsibility for us? I said in the last show that love is an inside job. It starts internally. I can't expect you to love me if I don't love myself. I can't expect you to do for me what I won't do for yourself. I can't expect you to pour into me when I won't pour into myself. I can't expect you to invest in me when I won't invest in myself. Love is an internal job. It starts within, and it's hard for some of us because, again, we weren't taught how to love ourselves. And women, I will venture and say this, as from a young age, we were taught that we have to be there and do this for everybody else and make sure this is done and make sure that is done and make sure this and make sure that and get your sister ready for school and get this one. That we had so many roles we played even as children that did not reflect self-love, right? So we grew up thinking that it was normal and we grew up thinking it was natural, and it's really not. It goes back to my comment of you can't pour from an empty cup. But as kids, we were pouring from empty Kool-Aid jars and thinking it was okay, and it wasn't. But again, that was some of our norms, you know, helping somebody else or getting somebody else together, making sure this one is this and making sure that is that. I'm going to stop hitting stuff soon. Don't worry about me. It's my hand movement. But we were so consumed with externally worried and being concerned about everybody else that we weren't really taught how to care for ourselves. But we can't make excuses, though. We can't continue to blame our quote-unquote upbringing. We can't continue to blame big mama and grandma and granny. We can't continue to blame mom and mommy and whatever you call your mother or your father, dad, daddy. We can't continue to blame them, because here's the thing that we all need to understand. We teach what we know. I heard this from my pastor, Pastor Willie Felton. We teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. What that simply means is your parents gave you the best that they had at the time that they had it. Let's just be 100. You know, some of us were hoping, well, my parents should have did this, and my parents should have did that, and my parent, and da 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 da, and the list goes on, right? But I gave you what I had in the time that I had it. And so at some point, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have to forgive that person, parent, whomever, and move on. If you are 30 and above and you're still holding on to that, that's a problem. At what point are you going to forgive Big Mama and them for what they did or didn't do and stand in your truth? Because you're 30, if you're 30 and over, you've seen some things by now. You've been in some places by now, hopefully. You've experienced some friendships, relationships, some type of shit by now, right? To know that, okay, even though this was not my norm, I've at least had the opportunity to see it. Let me give you an example. My family, they're going to cancel me off this podcast after a while, but I love them. So there's a 10 or 11 year difference. I'm the second oldest child. I act like I'm the oldest, and that's cool. Everybody know that. I'm bossy in my own way. I'm the second oldest child, and my youngest sister, I believe she's, it's a 10 or 11 year difference between her and I. So needless to say, we were raised in two different eras, right? We had two different mothers. We got the same mama, but it was just two different upbringing. Like when my mom raised the first three children, it was, oh my God, she was a warden. Like you couldn't go, you couldn't do, you couldn't. It was a whole lot of couldn't, right? Because again, she's reproducing who she is. So come now, 11 years later, my youngest sister, it's a whole different level of parenting for my mom, because one or two things may have happened. One, she's learned something along the way after raising the first four, because there's my brothers in between. Or two, she's seen things differently. I mean, whatever her epiphany was, the parenting was different. Not to say that it was better or worse. It just was different, right? So the relationship I had with my mom growing up was definitely not the relationship I saw her have with my youngest sister. So I heard, catch this, I heard my mother tell my youngest sister she loved her. And it threw me for a loop. And if I'm honest, my exact words was, what the hell? I heard her say it, right? But I never heard her say it to me. And so there were times where it made me upset. But I had to realize, Natasha, this is 11 years later, four kids later, she's learned something different. She's learned now that what may have needed to be said with the first set of children and wasn't said, and she probably learned that, you know, maybe it affected them, it didn't, I don't know. Maybe now let me try something different, right? Can I hold that against my mom at 43? Absolutely not. Could I have held it against her at that time? Absolutely, I did. But as I got older and I started realizing patterns and evolution and how things happen, I had to realize, like, yo, she really didn't know. She did what she knew. And it is what it is. I turned out to be pretty good, I think, you know. Whatever. I turned out to be pretty decent, but you know, but again, she didn't know at the time what she needed that needing to say it mattered. And now saying it mattered. So now every time, and even without me asking, or I've never had this conversation with my mom, so she's going to hear this for the first time on this podcast. So now at 43, when I end the conversation, I talk to my mom almost every single day, three and four times a day. I don't know why, but that's just the relationship we have, and I'm grateful for it. But every time we end the phone call, she'll be like, all right, talk to you later. I love you. And the first time she said it out in my adult age, I was like, what? Girl, it was just so mind blowing to me. And I never said it back because I'm like, girl, this ain't what we do. But I realized she was recreating a new pattern. And can I just suggest to some of us that when people are trying their best, especially parents, I'm going to speak from the parent perspective. So when a parent is trying their best to recreate a pattern that they didn't have or to quote unquote right their wrong, allow them. Stop holding on to the grudge and be like, you know, he never did that before. Oh, where that came from? I mean, you could ponder all those thoughts in your head, but at the same token, accept it. They did what they knew at that time. So that's our relationship now. So now she's the moment of epiphanies, you know, took place, and now we say it. And so now, even when I end phone calls with my siblings, you know, it's like, all right, talk to you later, love you. You know, so now it's something that we naturally do. Wasn't something that we naturally did in the past. We didn't know that. We knew we loved each other even through all our fights, all our ups and downs, and God knows we've had them. We knew we loved each other still. Like, listen, I can fight my sisters, but you can't, because that's not going to be a good situation for you. So even through all of that, we knew that we loved each other in spite of. And then the reason why, and I can speak for my family, the reason why we're able now to say I love you to each other or receive love or whatever, because we each have done our own individual work. I'm going to talk about that. We've each have done our own individual work. Instead of blaming my mom, instead of blaming my dad, instead of blaming the failed relationships, instead of blaming the failed this and that and the third, we each individually, without even knowing that's what each person was doing, we each individually did our own work, right? And none of us knew we were doing our own work, because it wasn't something that we collaboratively sat down and said, yo, we need to work on this. We didn't. We went off in our own little worlds and we did our own work. And so because we did our own work on our own and worked on us and loving us from the inside out, this is why I say it's an internal job. We are now able to love each other on a level that we were never able to love before. We loved each other, but we for real love each other, right? But that's because we did the work. That's because we had to internally search. And I didn't know my siblings were doing this work on their own either. I wish I would have known, but I'm glad I didn't, because my personality would have tried to help them even though, because yeah, that's just my personality. Don't judge me. But we each internally did our own work, whether it was in therapy or, you know, however we worked it out. Some of us did therapy, some of us didn't. Some of us had to come to Jesus meet, some of us didn't. Whatever it was that we did, we each internally did our own work. So when God brought us back together, and it took God to bring us to a place to where we realize now that, yo, we're in a better place now. So now when we get together and we have our little spats, they last but for a minute, and we're able to get over it. Why? Because internally, I love who I am. And in loving who I am, I have to accept, this is Natasha, I have to accept that everybody won't agree with me. Everybody won't see things my way. Everybody won't do it the way I want it to be done. And I'm okay with that now. In the past, I wasn't. In my younger years, I wasn't. I would always internalize that if someone didn't agree with me, and this is my truth moment, if someone didn't agree with me in the past when I was younger, I would take it so personally and thought it was an attack against me. And it was my immaturity didn't allow me to realize that, yo, people gonna agree to disagree, girl. Everybody gotta go along to get along. Everybody don't have to agree with your, you know, your suggestion, your opinion, or whatever it is. This is life. And Natasha, the quicker you learn it, the better off you would be. Everybody's not going to be in your life forever, because when people, and this is another thing about loving yourself, when people used to walk away from me, it used to aggravate me very badly. It will put me in a place of like, damn, what's wrong with me? But as I grew older and I started doing my work, and I still do my work I realized that everybody's not meant to be in your life forever, right? And when people walk away, stop thinking, this is for somebody. I don't know who this is for, but catch this. When people walk away, stop thinking it's something you did, or stop thinking it's something wrong with you that caused them to walk away. Could it just mean that the time span, the time that you guys shared together, whatever together, it has expired? You know, people evolve, people grow, things change. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're broken or something is wrong or something needs to be fixed. It's just the facts of life. People will come and people will go. And we cannot internalize it, you know? But that was something I struggled with in my 20s. Oh, 20-something years ago. Ain't God all right? Jesus. But that was something I struggled with. Like when people will walk away or when friendships would end, I would always internalize like, what's wrong with me? And I come to the conclusion after analyzing whatever relationship or whatever friendship it was. Okay, Natasha, this is where you went wrong. This is what you went right. This is what you need to work on next time. This is what you need to focus on next time. This is what you might not want to do the next time. Right. But it's my internal analyzation. It's my internal analysis. Instead of pointing the finger and blaming somebody, loving yourself means taking that finger, that thumb, whatever, and point it at yourself and say, whoa, wait a minute. Let me analyze me. I know some people that are mad and angry at everybody else around them, but they're not mad and angry with themselves. At what point are you going to really take inventory? At what point are you really going to say, yeah, that's the role I played. Yeah, you know, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, I need to work in that area because it's more about me than it is about them, it, whatever. You got a self-inventory. How to love? Self-inventory. How to love? Take responsibility for your actions. How to love? Analyze that everything shouldn't be internalized. How to love? Accept the fact that things may have happened, but you can move forward from it. You can grow from it. You can grow through it. You can get over it. And your limit, your time limit, and how you go through it, get over it, that's completely up between you and, for me and my God, how I get through it. Whatever your process is, that's your process, right? It's nobody else's process. And if you don't find the time, and if you don't find the worth to feel like you're worth it, going back to our last show, to fight for yourself, to heal yourself. See, a lot of times what happens with love is we're looking for people externally to heal us. That's not their job. We're looking for people to complete us. That's not their job either. I never agreed, and I could be wrong, with the statement of, I need someone to complete me. So you incomplete? This is my opinion. I ain't no expert because I am divorced. But here's my opinion. If you're going into a marriage incomplete, looking for him or her to complete you, you've already failed. That's just my opinion. I ain't no marriage expert. If I'm going into something incomplete, with unresolved issues, something as sacred as marriage, incomplete, and I don't know how we just took this term, but since I'm here, if I'm entering into something incomplete, if I'm entering into something on a rebound, if I'm entering into something because I feel like something is missing, you've already failed. And not only are you failing yourself, now you drag it. I think I heard this on Bible study. Now you're dragging this other person into your mess. Because I needed you to complete me. But what happens if he or she doesn't complete you? What happens if he or she doesn't love you on the level that you feel that you should be loving? Honestly, you don't even know what level you want to be loving because you don't really love yourself because you're incomplete. Let's be 100. So before you jump the broom again, I was talking to myself. I ain't judging y'all. I come for me too. Before you jump the broom again, or before you consider entering into a union for the first time, whatever your situation is, ask yourself, do I love myself enough that if this person never loves me to that capacity, I'm still able to sustain and maintain? And I'm not saying they shouldn't. That's a whole nother episode. We'll deal with that later on. But what I am saying is you have to be so certain and so secure with who you are. Because being in a relationship, whether it's a marriage, a friendship, an intimate relationship, a partnership, whatever ship you're in, it takes giving and taking, right? Even in a friendship, it takes giving of yourself. So let's take marriage off the table right now. Even in your relationship with your friends, it takes giving and taking, right? So am I secure enough that when my friend don't show up for me, does that mean our friendship is over? Do I love myself enough that if my friend never calls, never support, never whatever the situation is, does it for me that what do for me what I do for them or did for them? Am I secure in myself enough to say, yo, I love me enough. I showed up for me. There's this thing, this voiceover on TikTok by my mentor, Lisa Nichols. It says, well, I woke up this morning and I like me, and that's enough. And that's the place we have to, it's not a place of arrogance. It's not a place of pride. It's a place of knowing who you are and being secure in who we are, because what we're experiencing, it's so many insecure people looking for people to secure them. That ain't it, baby. That ain't it. You got to wake up every morning and think to yourself, well, God, dog, I love me. Chick, you bad. Bro, you got it going on. If you don't esteem yourself, why should somebody else do it? Outside of those of us that are married or living together or whatever y'all situation is, I ain't condoning nothing. Don't come for me. Please don't. But when you wake up in the morning, you wake up with yourself, despite the other person that's laying next to you, right? You wake up with yourself. So if you can't wake up with yourself and tell yourself you got it going on, why the person next to you gonna think that? Why the person, you know, friend gonna tell you that? You didn't tell yourself. And so this is why, oh God, do I want to go here? This is why we have so many insecure teenagers, insecure children, because we're not teaching them that your existence is not dependent on someone else. We teach dependency. I'm not even a fan of codependency either. I'm a fan of interdependency. We exist together. You know, if you fall, we good still. If you never tell me I love you, I'm still good, because guess what? I love me. Repeat it. I love me. Say it until you start believing it. Say it until you start seeing it. Stop depending on people to do and love you the way that you ain't even interested in loving yourself. I'ma let that sit. Because we have to stop putting all this unrealistic expectations on somebody else. And since we're talking about loving me is enough, and since I've already probably done made some of y'all mad, I guess I'll just keep making you mad. It's okay. I love y'all anyway. But sometimes we have to hear the hard truth. Wives, it ain't only his job to love you. Do you love you? Are you happy with you? Do you have anything going on for yourself? Right? Husbands, same thing. Bro, do you love yourself? You got anything going on? See, because when we both individually love who we are, then we could come together collectively and love us. And then it could be loving us is enough. But it starts with me. I have to love me. I can't be at set. And if I'm honest, I have entered into relationships at maybe 80%, 85%, expecting the other individual to give me the other percentage. And that wasn't fair to them. And this is just not intimate relationships. Y'all gonna know all my business, but I don't even care, because if it help you, it help you. If it don't, then you can't say nobody never tried. But it's not only in intimate relationships. It's even in friendships. It's even in partnerships. It's in businessships. It's in fellowships, in my church relationships. You know, there are times where we enter into these ships and we're not whole. And we want to blame others, but we never take the time to blame ourselves. And I'm not saying blame in a negative way. We never take the time to reflect on ourselves. We never take the time to ask ourselves, like, what we got going on. You know, we just never take that time. Are you whole? Are you half? Are you a piece? Are you, you know, it's how to love. You know, yeah. We got to figure out how to love ourselves. And it's never too late. I don't care if you're 30-something, 40-something, 50-something, 60-something, 70-something, 80-something. Well, if you're 90-something, it is what it is. But what I'm saying is, it's never too late to change your trajectory. It is never too late to self-reflect and say, you know what? I don't like that girl on that podcast, and that's cool. I love you, boo. But she had a point. I gotta love me. I gotta love me. I gotta invest in me. Song in the beginning said you had a lot of crooks that stole your heart. Okay, we made mistakes. Okay, cool. Okay, we missed the mark. Okay, cool. Now what? See, I'm a firm believer, and Willie David of Willie David Hair will tell you this. He's a hairstylist. He's in Miami Gardens, for those of you that are in Miami. But he will tell you this. When we do our life coaching sessions, or when we just have our, you know, conversations, I say this. You got 24 hours to have your moment. Cry, scream, whine, complain, do whatever. That's all I am going to give you. And for those of you that are seeking life coaching with me, hear me clearly. You have 24 hours to waddle in it. Roll in it. Cry, whine. You got 24 hours. But we have to give those things a cutoff, right? So after the 24 hours, now what are we going to do? How are we going to address this matter? How are we going to address this situation? How are we going to get up from here? Because if I give you more than 24 hours, you might stay there too long. Went too far, stay too long. That's one of my statements. And I don't need you going too far and staying too long, because sometimes when you go too far and stay too long, it turns into undiagnosed depression and undiagnosed some other mental health disorder. And if I can prevent that for you, then allow me to help you do that. But we can't keep going too far and staying too long, because when you stay too long, then you for real get deep in that thing and you start really blaming people, and it becomes about everybody around you and it's never about you. When the common denominator in most of these situations is you. Here's my thing. I don't care how many times you change relationships, change jobs, change boyfriends, change friends, change girlfriends, change apartment complexes, change neighborhoods, change school, change churches. I don't care how many times you do that. The common denominator, ladies and gentlemen, drum roll please, it is going to be you. I'm just saying, because you're taking the same broken you to this place. You're taking the same wounded you to the other relationship. You're taking the same disappointed you to whatever it is. So before you jump ship, whatever your ship is, relationship, friendship, situationship, fellowship, workship, whatever your ship is, I want to admonish you. Before you take and jump off that ship, ask yourself, is this really about me? Did I do my work? Did I internalize this first before I checked all the external factors? Did I clear things up with me first? Before you jump ship, let me save your marriage. Before you decide to leave the marriage, unless it's abuse, I don't condone abuse on no level. Let me just be clear on that. But before you decide to leave that marriage, ask yourself, am I expecting from my mate what I didn't expect from myself? Before you decide to call up homie and homegirl and let them know that you're done with this friendship, ask yourself, were you fully present in that friendship, and did you expect something from that friendship that you didn't even bring to the friendship as well? All I'm asking is for you to do a self-inventory. That's it. That's the whole show. That's really what I want to say. Do a self-inventory. Before you make that move, before you make that decision, before you transition, before any of that, sit in a corner for a moment and ask yourself, what was my role played in this situation? Is it really my supervisor? Or do I just have issues with authority? Let me give you an example. I used to work at a hotel years ago, many, 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 many years ago. I was a front desk clerk, and I was pretty good at it. You know, anything I really put my mind to, this is not arrogance, but anything I really put my mind to, I can do well at it, right? Because I believe in me. Even if I didn't love me at the time, I don't even remember what was going on at that time in my life, but I was 20-something, and I knew I believed in me, and anything I put my mind to, I can achieve, and I can make it happen, right? I can excel. And I worked at the hotel, and I became really good at it. And I think I was in my early 20s, probably 21, 22. And the general manager at the hotel at the time, he came to me and the supervisor at the time. And he said to the supervisor, listen, I want to promote her. And the supervisor had an attitude, right? Because she couldn't understand why you want to promote her. Like, why her? And so instead of me being humble, instead of me allowing, at the time, God to fight that battle, I decided I wanted to fight it myself, and I quit because the promotion didn't come through. Yes, he said he wanted to promote me, but it took long, and I was going through some stuff. The supervisor deliberately was cutting my hours. She was doing all manner of evil. I would call her name, but I don't know. She might listen to this podcast somewhere in her life. But she was so nasty to me. And I was 20-something, and I didn't know how to handle it, right? Because nobody at the time taught me how to deal with conflict outside of Nuck If You Buck, right? I'm being honest. So I couldn't fight her because I knew I was going to jail. It was a hotel in Fort Lauderdale Beach. So I knew I was going to jail. And we were not of the same race or nationality. So I knew I was going to end up going to jail if I fought her. So what I did was I prematurely left. And because I left, I realized now, well, I realized then when I went through the whole process, when I come up against conflict, I dip. I'm out. I'm good. I'm straight. Right? Because I wasn't taught how to deal with conflict in a healthy way. And some of us, that's our story. We weren't taught how to deal with conflict in a healthy way. So we end up prematurely doing things. So that's what I'm saying. Before you walk away, before you move on, before you call it quits, I mean, whatever it is, just sit down for a moment. This is my only assignment. I don't give assignments at the end of my shows. I just normally, you know, whatever. But this show, I'm asking you, before I'm making my altar call. Before you fully walk away, seriously, before you make that commitment to whatever it is that you're going to do, I want you to sit down and ask yourself, okay, where am I in this situation? How could this have either one been avoided or been different? And ask yourself, what role did I play? It's time out for us blaming everybody for everything. And it's time for us not to blame yourself, but to look within and say, okay, what role did I play in this? Fair enough? Fair enough. So that's our show. That's really our show. How to love, it starts internally. Loving me is enough is not an arrogant statement. And I do have t-shirts for sale. You should go on my website, www.lovingmeisenough.com. There's t-shirts on my website for sale. It says loving me is enough. And then I think there's another one that says you're stronger than you think. It's unfortunately men right now. It's only for women. I haven't ventured into merchandise for men yet. Give me a minute. You know, I'm a little slow. But on my website, www.lovingmeisenough, you will find merchandise that you can purchase. There's also this ring you can also purchase on my website that says I am enough. And it's not arrogant. Again, it's just a reminder to let us know that, you know, regardless of what and the situation, that you are enough, that loving you is enough, and love is an inside job. I don't ever want us to think or believe that this our love is codependent. Our love really should start as independency, loving who you are and loving, you know, everything about you. I didn't like my complexion. We'll talk about colorism another day, but I didn't like how dark skinned I was. I didn't like when I gained weight. It's a lot I didn't like about me. But as I grew older and started loving who I was inside and out, and Lord knows I got some flaws, but I started loving me flaws and all. And then I started asking God to help me to deal with those flaws, right? So I can embrace me. So when he finds me, let me put that in perspective. When he finds me, then he can love me and help me, you know, along the way and vice versa. Because again, I can't depend on him to give me what I'm not giving myself. Men, you can't depend on her to give you what you're not willing to give yourself. It's an internal job. So it's me, your girl, Natasha Hatchett. And for those of you, as I said, somewhere along the lines in this podcast, I am a certified life coach. I do have room to take on more clients. If you would like to become a client, you can also reach me at that same website, www.lovingmeisenough. And then you click coaching, mentoring. I'm not sure what it says. It might be a little under construction right now, but just send me your information for contact, and I promise you I will get back in contact with you. Again, that's www.lovingmeisenough.com. You can purchase your t-shirts from there. You can purchase your merchandise from there. I do believe that my books are on that website as well. Just go to the website. You know, patronize me. Go to your website. But yeah, I just want us to get to a place where we can fully, you know, I say this for the women. I want us to get I say this generally, you know, some of us don't even like looking at ourselves naked in the mirror. I just want us to get to a place where we fully love who we are with all the roles and the love handles and the fupas. And I just want us to love us. That's it. That's really it. I'm big on us loving ourselves, because when you love you, man, it opens up a world of possibilities, right? And it teaches people how to treat you. Yeah. So with that being said, as usual in every show, I hope that I have said something to help you even stop for a moment and say, let me think about that. You know, it's just, I'm not saying I'm the be-all, be-it-all, but I tell you what I know from what I experienced or what I've seen. I've been in the field of educational / mental health / whatever for child dependency for quite some time. And I've seen a lot. I've experienced a lot. And so it is my goal to help someone. So if I only help one person each podcast, well, God dog it, Natasha, you have done your job. Job well done. I think I give myself a round of applause. Yeah, because I deserve it. So with that being said, I'm going to get up out of here. Again, you can reach me at www.lovingmeisenough.com. My business name is called Tasha Hatchett Consulting. And for those of you that have a sense of humor, it's TAC. That's all I got to say. I'm your girl, Natasha. Enjoy your day. Love yourself. Love you for who you are. I'm out. Be blessed.
I just want you to know, that you deserve the best. You're beautiful. Beautiful, yeah. And all I want you to know, you're far from the usual. never